Should be okay. We're recording, and I think it'll work out fine the way it is. The different phones, I don't know how the settings are set, so it may not do as well. So, to begin with, I want to know how many daily Bible readers we've got. I must admit, what's that? Yeah, Carmen, I don't think you ever miss, do you? Yeah, Carmen never misses. In the last 2 weeks, I missed one day. Vacations do not work well. And so I don't remember what day it was, but I think we were leaving early on the Thursday morning, and I slept late the first Thursday, and I think I missed that day. And so life happens, you know. But I missed one day, so I don't like to do that. Okay, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So we looked at verses 1 through 4 a couple weeks ago in the last class that we had. And we looked at what kind of an attitude are we to go towards struggles and troubles? Supposed to have joy. But there's an underlying reason. Why would we have joy? What is the underlying factor that will bring about joy as we deal with the struggles and the problems of life?
Perseverance,
but also faith. Okay, that you may be perfect, entire, lacking nothing. And so, in other words, I don't know that any of us really look with joy at the struggles that come. Okay, dealing with a sick loved one. That's hard, isn't it? And there's not really a lot of joy, but then there's some good that comes out of it, right? Does it not build a relationship to have a loved one that's sick? You know, it's struggle, but you know, when Dorothy really got sick, I learned how much I loved her. Okay? And then I've grown a lot through that, and I've learned compassion. I've learned more about patience with people and their struggles. Guys, some of the struggles that we go through can be quite challenging. And our joy is robbed from us for a short time. But if we will allow God through these problems, we will be a whole lot better when we get through it or as we go through it. And there's joy in that. Even though I still think there's problems that we look back on with grief, but we're thankful for the good things that have been brought about because of it. So keep that in mind. As you go through the midst of problems, and remind me when I go through mine, and as I go through mine, sometimes I feel like I'm never finished. You know, we're always in the middle of problems. But at any rate, you know, I try to remember that once we get through this, we'll be a little stronger and a little more prepared for the next one.
We have to remember, speaking from personal experience here, not to blame God.
Yeah. And so many people blame God, you know. You know, and so it's always confused me why people will be blessed by God and they're excited to live for God. And then when Satan brings something bad into their life, they turn away from God and they say, God, I've had it.
Why did God allow this to happen?
Yeah, well, they usually blame it on God. They don't usually say allow like 1 Corinthians 10:13 does. They say God won't bring anything into our life that we can't handle. That's a misquotation of that passage. God won't allow us or suffer us to be tempted above what we're able. And so as we look at that passage, we've got to remember, don't turn to Satan, the one that brings problems in your life. When problems come, turn even more headstrong towards God and give him even more, because he's the one that's going to take care of you. Satan is the one that's causing your trouble. So if you turn away from God, Satan say, yes, I did it and it worked. Why would we do that? But that's what happens. Overwhelming majority of the time. Elisa?
It mentions different temptations or diverse.
positions. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the passage in Job, which is so sad, when his wife turned away from him and she wanted to blame God. And I guess the temptation they're talking about there is possibly blaming God for
it's easy for people.
Job just pled with his wife and said, don't act so foolishly.
Yeah. Don't talk as the foolish women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think she left him.
Who knows what emotion was. She made the statement, just curse God and die. And for whatever that was reason. I mean, if we look at that, we might, from a love of a spouse, we might say, and look, we're so overwhelmed by the grief that we see that we just are trying to help them get out of it instead of go through it. It could be just a ridiculous statement that was made out of desperation. I don't know. I really don't. It doesn't explain it. But, the temptation's there. How much of a temptation is it to give in to a spouse?
Very hard.
It's tough. It's tough. I mean, here we love our spouse, and then our spouse is going around in one direction and saying go in one direction. And so we may know that it's not right, but we have a tendency to follow. Job was strong enough to say, no, I'm not doing that. And you know good and well that it was a temptation to Job. And so that was a challenge in Job's life. And I think he's a good example of that. And so at any rate, guys, problems will bring good if you respond properly to your problems. If you respond improperly to your problems, Satan won. He brought them, he got you, and he's happy. So don't respond improperly. Okay, so now somebody read verses 4 through 8.
And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in his ways.
Okay, so this is all one thought, but it begins with an admonition to you and I to do what? What are we supposed to do in verse 5?
Ask God.
Ask God for what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
Wisdom. Now, wisdom, guys, is the proper use of the knowledge that we've gained. All right? There's a lot of challenges as we go from day to day and as we look at different situations. And, I know, man's rules are really challenging. God's rules are still challenging. I was reading an article on an instrument approach in an airplane, and it said, look, if I was faced with this challenge, I would break the rules and do this. And even the ATC controllers were saying, yeah, that'd be the best thing to do, but that's breaking the rules. And so now, in God's world, we just need to stay away from what God says. God's rules aren't made like man's rules. Man's rules, you don't speed. Well, okay, if you're going to an emergency, you can go a certain amount over. And if you're in this situation, you can go a certain amount over the speed limit. So man's rules have a lot of exceptions. God's rules weren't made that way. And so we just need to follow them. But there's still a lot of verses that we've kind of got to put a couple things together, don't we? We come into this situation, we say, well, how do we deal with this situation? And to me, the example of the wisdom is found in 2 Kings chapter 3. And this has always been a standout in my mind as far as wisdom goes. And this is Solomon as he assembled to the throne. Rather, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. I knew something was not quite right. So 1 Kings chapter 3. And so Solomon was ascending to the throne. And we see this that is going on. And I want to read this passage in chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. We'll get us enough of it. But if somebody wants to begin reading, and you can read as far as you like. But I want to get this context of what's going on. Okay, somebody else?
The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have you have asked the riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment, justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all of your days. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will strengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, ordered up burnt offerings, ordered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants.
Okay. You know, I look at this example, and this has been an amazing example in my life. And God gives you and me admonition to do what Solomon just seemed to have done. Okay, very likely his father David had instructed him and given him some direction in life, and he walked in the ways of David his father. But he recognized the awesome responsibility that he had to be able to lead properly the kingdom of God. He was king. And as we look at this and compare this with James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so, and God says it's going to be given. Did God give Solomon wisdom? He did. What was Solomon known for? World over.
Being wise.
Being wise. There had been nobody before him, and the wisdom that Solomon exhibited in reigning over this people was world renowned. over the known world. Everybody knew about Solomon and his great wisdom. Why did he have that wisdom? What's that?
From God.
Yeah. It was a gift. And he had to ask for it, right? And so as we look at that, are you and I really any different than Solomon? Are we a human being just like him? Okay. He said, Solomon says to God, I'm just a child. I don't know. I don't have what it takes. I can relate with that. Do you relate with that? Man, I struggle with it. And so I want us to remember, though, what did Solomon not ask for?
Riches.
Riches?
Long life.
Long life? And the neck of his enemy. An honor. I think we've got an example here of what needs to be the priority in our life. I think Solomon has shown us that our number one priority in living our life is to plead for wisdom from God. How does God give it?
Wonderfully.
I mean, you know, that word liberally. Can you imagine? You know, when you've been given liberally, you've been given so much. Okay? And so God gave it liberally to Solomon, but God also gave what?
Things he didn't ask for.
He gave him the things that he didn't ask for. And what's a lot of times that, what do we first want? We want more money. We want to be well known and respected by everybody around us. And we want to be on the top of the pile. And we want to live forever. Right? But often the last thing we're looking at is God, give me wisdom to live the life that I have. Guys, I want to encourage all of us. Seek first to pray to God to have wisdom. I believe, based on what the Bible teaches, that if that is our priority and we approach it with a humble heart, I believe that we will be blessed immensely with wisdom and will also be blessed in many other ways. You know, so many times I've talked to people and it's always, if they just had more money, it would solve all their problems. That's not going to work. Having more wisdom will solve your problems. Having more wisdom will give you a better life. And that's what we need to look towards. You know, we get this haughty heart that we got what we want in our mind. And God has shown us through Solomon that we need to seek what God wants. Now, notice here he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. What's that mean to you? Lisa?
Upbraideth.
What does upbraideth mean? It means to cast down, to put down. Kind of archaic. We don't use that word anymore. You know, in other words, you ask for something and somebody says, what are you asking for that? You don't need that. You know, you're not good enough for that. You know, and so that's the, God doesn't do that. Okay? God gives liberally. He doesn't say, you're not good enough for that. He's saying, he's going to take care of us. What do you think about a God that would encourage us and bless us with something instead of putting us down and saying we're not good enough for that? What does it do when we have wisdom? What does it do for our lives?
It
Makes us happier, makes us better. Yeah. What happens when issues and struggles and challenges come along? What happens then? If we have wisdom, what do?
We have to know how to deal with it.
Yeah. Wisdom is the ability to be able to deal with those challenges, right? You know, and I'm sure as Solomon, as those two harlots came before him and they each said, "This is my child," that would have been a tough case to solve, right? He said, "Give me a sword. Let's cut it in half. Give half to each one of them." You know? And when Shimei, who had done despite to David, was told to not leave Jerusalem, the day you do, you could die. And he left, and Solomon took care of him. He knew how to deal with that. And so, when I have a struggle in life, if I have God's wisdom, will I be able to answer that and deal with that in a proper way that will bring about good? What happens if I don't have wisdom?
You're not going to get your answers.
And what's going to happen if I do something that's not wise?
You're not going in the right direction.
Yeah, we're going to cause a lot of problems, right?
Yep.
I think you hit the key word, though.
Yeah.
Not world wisdom.
Yeah. What is that chapter? Chapter 4, I think. Let's turn over there.
James
chapter 4, and we'll look at it more later. But this verse 17 shows us, and it'll help us to understand what wisdom we're using as we deal with life. Somebody read James 4:17. James 3:17. I'm sorry.
But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy.
Wow. So does that help us to understand a little bit when we respond to some kind of stimuli in a certain way? If it doesn't fit into this category, is it God's wisdom or devil's? Makes sense, doesn't it? You know? So let's read through that. It's first pure. That's God's wisdom. It's peaceable. Peaceable. There you go. Now, you remember the catch word today is drama. Right? So who's drama from? Satan. Okay, if it's not peaceable, it's Satan's territory. It's Satan's wisdom. All right? It's gentle. What happens if it's a lack of gentleness? If assertiveness and pushing my way through? Is that God's wisdom? And what does our natural do? We want to push our way through and get our way, right? You know, we're all the same pretty much. You know, we're all, that's our, it would be easy for many of us, it is for me, to not be gentle. But I know that if I'm not gentle, it's not God that I'm following. It's not His wisdom. Easy to be entreated. You know, the fool, you get a scar when you reprove a fool for improper action. And I've been thinking on that one, and I can't remember the proverb, but it's one of the proverbs. And that's not a quote, but that's what it's saying. In other words, if you do something wrong, or if I do something wrong, and somebody comes to me and says, you know, we need to talk about this, I say, you leave me alone. I'm doing the right thing, and I don't want to hear about it. Is that easy to be treated? Huh. That's Satan I'm following if I do that. And so the wisdom from above is easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy.
Our version calls it reasonable.
Yes, reasonable. Yeah. And so that's the idea there. It's reasonable.
Where are you?
It's James 3:17. And so a reasonable individual is somebody that you can sit down and reason with, all right, and talk to, and you still come away friends, okay? And so, you know, over the years, I've known numerous people that if you sit down and try to talk about something that they had done that's wrong, it was war. You know, I remember a Christian in a place I used to be, and he went to cussing and you know, when we was all standing around after services, and he was cussing about something, and I went to him, talked to him, and that man became an enemy. He was an enemy after that. He would not have anything to do with me. And he soon quit coming. And I wasn't mean to him, you know, but I said, you know, this isn't right. You shouldn't have done that. I mean, that was a bad example. And so he wasn't easy to be entreated. And so, you know, I make mistakes, guys. So if I'm not a reasonable person, I'm not following God. I can't be reasoned with. I'm following Satan, not God. That's not God's wisdom. So then the mercy. Mercy. What is mercy?
It has a lot to do with grace. Mm-hmm. We always think of God's grace, but we're to be merciful to each other. In other words, have that compassion so that we'll go that extra mile. Overlook faults, you know, go ahead and give people the benefit of the doubt.
I think it's showing kindness or help or that's not deserved.
Mm-hmm. Yes, kindness or help that's not deserved.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness goes into that.
I was thinking it's like understanding mm-hmm. that all of us are human.
Yes.
And will fail. And allowing that person to know that you understand.
Yeah.
That you don't approve of it. Mm-hmm. You know that it's wrong, and they need to recognize it's wrong, but loving them anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And then Jesus looked out on those that were hurting, and he had compassion. I think compassion goes into this thing of mercy as well. You know, and guys, if we don't have mercy, it's not God's wisdom. It's the devil's wisdom. We need to keep that at the forefront. We've always got to watch that and be careful that we have mercy, because what happens if we do not have mercy on somebody else?
How can we expect to get it?
How can we expect to get it?
Be forgiven the way we forgive us.
That's right. Jesus said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father which is in heaven forgive yours.
That goes back to the parable of the unmerciful servant.
That's right.
He took his fellow prisoner by the throat and demanded that he pay all, had him cast into prison mm-hmm. because he was angry over a few pennies, whereas this man owed a lot, and his master forgave him everything.
Yeah, and you notice in that parable that his master come back and said, okay, I forgave you this, but now you're going to pay all because you didn't have mercy. And so, guys, wisdom from God is full. Did you catch that other word in there? Full of mercy. How many problems would that solve among people if we had that full mercy in our attitude? That's mind-blowing.
I think that full has to do with, you know, like your cup overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're over and above. You're running over with mercy. You're not just a little bit merciful. You're running over with mercifulness.
Right. Yeah. And so there's just not room for anything else. I mean, there's mercy there. And so that is the wisdom from above. It's also full of good fruits. What's good fruit? Is it apples? Peaches?
Our good deeds.
It's our good deeds. It's a life. It's the things that we do as Christians, whether it's the way we treat husband and wife, the way we raise children, the way we treat our neighbor, whether or not we're following the commands that God has given us on as far as worship and as far as whatever that he tells us to do and in the relationship with God and one another. And that's what it is. It's the fruits. It's things we do, the words we say.
You know, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits.
and they will know you are Christians by your love.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you know, so many times we see love not exhibited, and that should not ever be.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and this is where I've been in a lot of areas where the Christians were known for bitterness and anger and hatred. And it's easy. I've got some, going to share some things in the lessons today on that love, and that we're to share in the relationship that we have. It's so easy to get crosswise. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. Okay? It's kind of like, you know, husband and wife, you know, those first few years that, you know, we go off to a good start, and then after a while it gets a little rocky, and then we want to get at each other, you know. And, you know, I've sat down with that one couple in Jamaica, and they were at that stage, and they were ready to scratch each other's eyes out. I said, look, it's normal. What you're going through, everybody goes through. Get over it so you can be real happy. And that's the way it works. But we've got to do that. Familiarity brings about struggles and problems. If we don't have love for one another, and this is what we are known for in this community, for the love that we share. But that's always on the verge of stopping, because Satan's always there. Okay? And so every one of us, we're like the husband and wife. You know, there's always some little thing that can happen that can bring a little emotional problem and a little anger. And so we've got to keep that going. The wisdom that's from above is full of good fruits. The wisdom from above that is also without partiality. What's partiality?
Favoritism.
It's favoritism. You know, we think of it in...
putting one above another.
Yeah, we think about social status, you know. Well, I have a nicer car than you, so I'm better than you, you know. We think about race, you know. Well, I'm of the superior race, and Bob likes to tease about that. he's so funny.
He's not teasing.
Yeah, he's serious.
I don't think so. Bob loves to tease. But
you know, I wish we had a congregation full of all races. We met with the Avondale Church of Christ in Atlanta last Sunday, and there was a great mix of black and white, and it's about 50-50. And you had, you know, black and white leaders. You had, you know, I mean, the whole thing was mixed together well. And I wish for that, you know. I've known of, to me, when we have partiality, it shows in the community. And I remember... years ago, we were moving from Piedmont, Missouri, and the neighbor invited us over for Thanksgiving meal because it's ice and we couldn't move the truck. And he said that he was down in Tennessee area, and he said, I don't understand why I have black congregations and white congregations. And I said, I agree with you. I think we all ought to worship together. I don't care what nationality are. Now, language can be a barrier. as far as race, as far as social status, none of it matters. In Jesus Christ, we're all one. And if we have any other mind, that wisdom is from Satan, not from God. And so we need to make sure we're never partial towards anything, and without hypocrisy. In other words, I put on a show so that you look to me and think, oh, they're good. But inside, what am I? I'm rotten. I'm following Satan. And so, I mean, that's something that we've got to understand. What is wisdom? Guys, that's wisdom from God. And God will give. But are you asking? Plead for it every day.